When I have listened to the tributes over the last several days, I was reminded of the death of Roosevelt, and you might say why. They tell the story about on the day that they buried Roosevelt, they broadcasted his funeral out on the radio. And there was a man in a factory who just leaned against his equipment and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And one of his coworkers, a union guy from UAW, said, "My God, did you know Roosevelt?" And he said, "No, but I felt Roosevelt knew me." And that's the way I think we think about William Donald Schaefer. He did know Baltimore. He did know its people. He did know its neighborhoods. And he came to know the state the same way. But he was 100% Baltimore. He lived in the — he loved the neighborhoods. He was — he grew up over on West Side. He was a public school guy. He shopped at Lexington Market, Cross Street Market, Broadway Market. He loved it. He ate at Jimmy's, Rallo's, the Yellow Bowl. He was always out there. And how many of us have been at a church supper and saw William Donald sitting there, whether it was East Side, the sour beef suppers, the crab cake lunches, and how about the ravioli dinners at St. Leo's, sitting at the D'Alessandro table with the D'Alessandros and Sister Thomas from Mercy? How about going over to West Side, the pancake breakfasts, the bull roast, the fish fries? Because, you see, it wasn't about the food with Schaefer. It was about being out in the neighborhood, open and accessible, where people could see him, where they could come up and talk to him. He was one of us, and we knew it. He loved going out into the neighborhoods, whether it was walking the streets or going up and down our famous alleys. And one of his favorite things, he told me, was he loved the front steps. He was grouchy because they invented air conditioning and people stayed more inside. He loved the idea of people sitting out on their steps where he could come by and his version of door to door to say, "Hi, what's going on? How can I help?" Laney talked about his famous action memos and his famous blue notes. Did you ever get a blue note from Schaefer? It was written in blue pen, and I must say, somewhat blue language from time to time. He was a man of action, and action he did. And he was always out there, and he wanted us to be there, too. I felt very close to William Donald Schaefer. We had our ups and downs. We had very heart-touching moments, and we had many heartburn moments, like many of us in this room. I knew Schaefer first when I paid attention to him when I was a young social worker. Then, as an activist, we went to City Hall at the same time, he as mayor and me as a city councilwoman. And then we took our own brand, a pugnacious style of government, statewide. He became governor the same year that I went to the United States Senate. As a young social worker, I knew the great job he was doing, teaming up with a fantastic organization called CPHA. He was fighting blight. He wanted to end slums, and he was working with on the whole issue of fair housing. As president of the city council, working with young Tommy, then Mayor D'Alessandro, what they did in terms of desegregating the schools, desegregating public accommodations, working when our own Cardinal Sheehan came to testify on fair housing, and our cardinal was booed, and Schaefer never forgot it. And he vowed that he would do everything he could to bring the city together. As this activist, I was a fan, and I admired him until an epic struggle began, the Battle of the Expressway. Many people see it as an event, but it really lasted from 1969 to the opening of Harbor Place in 1980. It started with really Tom Ward and Jack Lapidus and a woman named Lucretia, who really, working with the Federal Hill and the Fells Point Historical Society, showed that those houses were important. Over in West Side, a group formed called RAM that was fighting to save a neighborhood called Rosemont. the first black home ownership neighborhood in Baltimore. And there was Sharp Street Leadenhall, the home to so many people who, again, were around where the stadiums are. And we were over on East Side. He wanted to save downtown. Jobs were leaving. People were leaving after the 1968 riots. And also what was going on, that was whether it was East Side or West Side, our neighborhoods were viewed as the other side of the tracks. We were often viewed as disposable. We had no power. We had no money. But we believed in our neighborhoods. We met and we organized and we gave ourselves militant names. Tommy remembers this. We had names like Ram over on the West Side. On East Side, we had a name called SCAR, Southeast Council Against the Road. And then we gave ourselves a name called MAD, City Movement Against Destruction. For all we had was our grit and our verve. Now, Schaefer didn't go for this. And in fact, he thought that he knew best. Well, that was vintage Schaefer. But the way we organized was very creatively. The Historical Society had a lawsuit. We in Fells Point had a festival. Over in Locust Point, they used to picket him in colonial costume. At the famous Fells Point Festival, our very first, I stood up on a table. I was with a group called SCAR, and I said this. The British couldn't take Fells Point. The termites can't take Fells Point. And by God, the States Roads Commission can't take Fells Point. Well, I made the news that day, and I made Schaefer crazy. And out of that became a lifelong kind of endeavor in which we worked together. This battle of the expressway was a defining moment. And when I came to the city council, and it was the golden age of people like Wally and Dew Burns and Bob Douglas and Bob Fitzpatrick and Arlen Specter, Victorine Adams, Mary Adams, all wonderful people. We were all there, and he was old school and I was new school. He was out of machine politics and I was a reformer, but we all wanted to clean up the neighborhoods. We all wanted to fix up our community, and we all wanted to do it now. Well, I introduced legislation to repeal the route of the expressway. We had a 14-hour hearing at City Hall. I thought I had the votes. Right before the big vote, I got a call from Schaefer, and he said, Barbara, I admire you. You're keeping your campaign promises. You're sticking true to what you said to the people. But I can't put up with it. There's only one mayor, and you're not it.